John chapter 1. The message today is invitations from Jesus. John 1, verse 37. John the Baptist has twice spoken of the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God. And as he speaks and identifies him, it says in verse 37, "And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and beheld them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, teacher, where do you live? Where abidest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came therefore and saw where he abode, and they abode with him that day. It was about the 10th hour. One of the two that heard Jesus speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He findeth first his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, Christ. Now Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. And walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brethren, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left the nets and followed him. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 3, And I will give unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. Verse 7. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that cometh up out of the abyss shall make war with them, and overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies lie in the streets of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Verse 10, And they that dwell on the earth rejoice over them, and make merry, and they shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. And after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them that beheld them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, Come up here. And they went up into heaven in the clouds, and their enemies beheld them. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that your delight has been with the children of men. We remember that on more occasions than one, you spoke of destroying mankind. And you did almost all of them in the flood. And then you said to Moses, Let me alone, and I will destroy them and make of thee a great nation. But our Father, in mercy, you spared. And in like manner, even though you are angry with the wicked every day, you have spared us. And so we pray that from the portions that we have read, we shall learn not only of your anger, but of your mercy, how that you are a God that is gracious and long-suffering, and that repenteth thee of the evil. So by thy Spirit, bring these things home to our hearts. We're thankful that we were here this morning, and we're here now. And we remember thee, and now we desire to preach the word of God, so empower by thy Spirit. You know our sins, we confess them. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I read to you 3 invitations from Jesus. They're similar, and yet they're distinct, and it would not have been sufficient to have read one of them, or two, but all three had to be read to bring to your mind all that is encompassed in these invitations from Jesus. Think now at this simple analysis of these three invitations. The first was an invitation to spend the day with Jesus. The second was an invitation to spend a lifetime with Jesus. And the third was an invitation to spend eternity with Jesus. Now, that is beautiful. So, our Savior has given not one invitation, but a variety of invitations to men because one of them is not sufficient. I mentioned the long-suffering of God, the graciousness of God, because it may be that God on occasion, as when the Israelites were bitten by the fiery serpent, that God puts a brazen serpent on a pole and says, "Look, this is all the time you have. Look, and if you look, you shall live." And then take it down, and that's all. But in the portions that I read to you, there was time given for men to consider the Lord Jesus and then make a decision as to whether they would accept the next invitation that our Savior gave. So think of the first now, an invitation to spend the day with Jesus. Two men, we take them to be Andrew and John, because John, in the Gospel of John, never mentions his own name, but he and Andrew heard John the Baptist pointing out the Lord Jesus as the Lamb of God that was going to take away the sin of the world. And the next day, again, John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples want to find out more about the Lord Jesus. So with hesitancy, they approach him, and he saw them coming, and he turned and said, "What seek ye?" Not whom are you seeking, but what do you want? What are you seeking? And they knew it was impossible to stand there where they were and question him exhaustively as they wanted to. So they asked him this question, "Where do you live?" And the Lord Jesus said, "Come and see." That is an invitation to spend the day with the Lord Jesus, sufficient time to examine him and see if you are interested further in having anything to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says that they went with the Lord Jesus and they stayed with him that day. What is so lovely is this, that having stayed with him that day, they were absolutely convinced as to who he was, because immediately they went out and they became disciples. Andrew went looking for his brother Peter, Simon, and brought him to the Lord Jesus. And then later, Philip knew who this was that sought him out, and he went and sought Nathanael. So think, just a brief time with the Lord Jesus was enough to convince some that what God had promised from of old, the coming Messiah, the prophet, was this one to whom they spoke. Whether people accepted him or rejected him, they always were impressed if they were in his presence an hour or a day. Not all of them accepted him. A lot of them examined him, heard his preaching, and said, "This man leads the people astray." And some, when he performed his miracles, said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of the devils, he casts out devils." So not all were convinced. But the Savior said, my sheep hear my voice. And the Savior said to Pilate, everyone that is out of the truth heareth my voice. And I assure you this, if there is honesty in your heart in seeking, then God will reveal to you in a day's time who the Lord Jesus is. How can that be? In a day's time? Why, in a moment's time. Do you remember when Nathanael was brought to the Lord Jesus? He said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. Think of the conviction that this man that you are telling others about, it is so evident to you, and so convincing is he from all that will listen to him with an open heart, that if you come and speak to him one day, you will be convinced. Nathanael took but a moment, because when he came to the Lord Jesus, the Savior said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. And Nathanael said, whence do you know me? And the Lord Jesus said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw thee. And he said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. For some, it takes a whole day. Others, it takes but a few sentences spoken by the Lord Jesus, and they are convinced who he is. But what there has to be is an examination of the Savior personally to convince you as to who he is. So this is the time that you should examine your heart and see if you have seriously ever given the Lord Jesus a day in your life to consider the claims that he's made and whether he is truly the Christ, the Son of the living God. I promise you this, that if you will spend that day with the Lord Jesus with a truthful heart, an honest heart, that the same conviction that came upon John and Andrew, the same conviction that came upon Philip and Nathanael will be your conviction, and it only takes one day. This is what I want you to understand, that the Savior at this time is not in a hurry, as some evangelical meetings I've attended. I've heard one gospel message given, and then an altar call that goes on and on and on, and they plead and they threaten. The Lord Jesus is quite willing to give a sufficient amount of time for a man to decide whether Jesus Christ is the one whom he claims to be, and to trust him as Savior. And for that reason, there will be no man in heaven who stands before God, who will not admit him to heaven, who will be able to say, I examined your son, and he did not present to me credentials that were sufficient to make me trust him as Savior. No man will ever say that in heaven. They may think they are going to say it, but you will understand that they will never say it. They will be somewhat like that man who came to the wedding feast, and he did not have on a wedding garment. And there are so many who think that they have strong arguments that they're going to give God. Just like Job, he said, oh, that I might know where I could find them, that I could come into his presence. He said, I would reason with him. I would contend with him. And when Job was brought into the presence of God, he put his hand over his mouth. He said, I'm not worthy to be accounted of. I'm nothing but dust and ashes. And in like manner, that man who came in without a wedding garment, the Savior said to him, how is it that you came in not wearing a wedding garment? And he said, absolutely nothing. And in like manner, those who in the days of Christ have a brief time to examine him, if it took longer, the Lord Jesus was patient, but those that were in the condition of heart of a Nathanael, and understand, it would seem as if his heart condition was all wrong. How could anybody be converted who came to the Savior with the attitude, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? You never know. And others who are longing for the Messiah, they take a longer period of time. Yet, Savior gives sufficient time for a man to test his claims. And so that is why the first invitation is introductory. And they came and they spent the day with Jesus. Now think, in your whole life long, have you ever set aside a day to see whether you are continuing in your sins and its folly, and whether you should make a decision for Christ, or you have made a decision and you've rejected Him and you will go on as you have before? The Lord Jesus will allow that. He said in John chapter 12, if anyone hears my words and believes them not, I judge him not. But he adds this, the words that I've spoken unto you, they will judge you in the last day. The Savior says, I'm not going to force anything on you, but what I've spoken to you, it will judge you in the last day. So remember that there are those like Nicodemus who come to the Lord Jesus, some by day, some by night, and when they talk to the Lord Jesus, you are not sure if they were converted that day. But they talk to the Savior, and they're already convinced about some of his credentials. Rabbi, we know that thou art a man come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. And the Lord Jesus said, enough. Except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so Nicodemus is seeking. And we are not told whether he received Christ as Savior in John chapter 3. But the next time a word is spoken against the Lord Jesus, at least he speaks a few words in his defense. And at the last, when the Savior is crucified, he is with Joseph of Arimathea, doing honor to the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Savior tells you that he presents himself for examination. He says, you come and see where I am. You come and listen to me. You hear my words. But I promise you this, that after God has given you your day, he's going to hold you responsible for it. When Christ was on earth, it was a literal day. Now, behold, this is the day of salvation. But concerning you, I would challenge you to go home and spend the day in the Word of God, reading the Gospel of John, to have your heart convinced as to the person of Jesus Christ, because that is what we do today. That is how we spend the day with the Lord Jesus. It says in John 20, many of the miracles truly did Jesus, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Think of that. All you have to do is to read a book of 21 chapters, and God has arranged that book to bring enough information to you to show you who Jesus is, that he's the Christ, the Son of God, and to make you believe that he's the Christ, the Son of God. And once you do believe, you may have life in his name. That's the way we spend the day with Jesus in our generation. So Jesus would ask you to come and see. He's not afraid. He's not such as some. And how often do we hear people that are being questioned, if we are listening in on that questioning, and they evade, they will not answer it, they will not come straight out and say yes or no. Why? Because they are devious. There is no truth in them. They are duplicitous. But the Lord Jesus will tell you the truth. For instance, just before he was crucified, the high priest put him under oath and he said, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, the Son of God? And Jesus said, I am. That's clear enough. And so they said, crucify. And the Lord Jesus died because of his confession that he was the Son of God. So he says, spend a day with me. God says, read the Gospel of John and be willing to do my will, and you shall know whether my son's words are his own or they're from some other source. That is the promise of God. So the first invitation is this, to spend a day with the Lord Jesus. Now, let me tell you about these men who spent one day with the Lord Jesus, because that introduces us to the next invitation of Christ, which is found in Matthew 4, and then I could add to it the invitation that you find in Luke chapter 5. But notice these ones, John and Andrew, that come and spend a day with the Lord Jesus, later they receive another invitation from the Lord Jesus. They've had sufficient time to think over who he is, and they have gone and preached to others who he is. And having been prepared to that degree, the Lord Jesus sees them again, and he says, "Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men." Now, the first invitation was to spend the day with the Lord Jesus. This next invitation is to spend your lifetime with the Lord Jesus. And when they heard him, that is what they did. Unless you read all the Gospels and put all the material together, you would think that out of the blue, the Lord Jesus came up to total strangers and said, "Follow me, come, follow me." But from what we read in John, they had been familiar with the Lord Jesus. They had conversed with the Lord Jesus, and they were convinced as to who the Lord Jesus was. And the Lord Jesus then gave them the other invitation. "You wanted to spend a day with me, and you did." He said, "Now, I want you to spend your lifetime with me." That is a graver decision, because it's one thing if you spend a day reading the Word of God, but if you do read the Word of God and you're convinced that what it says of the Savior is true, what about the next invitation that he gives to you, to spend your lifetime with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you prepared to take that step? Some are, and some are not. But the Lord Jesus is one who sees just how far you have gone with him in that one day that you spent with him, a day in your life. And now he says, "I want your whole life. I want you to come and live your life with me and for me." And fewer people are prepared to do that. Sad to say, you would think that if they knew who he was, that they would automatically bow the knee and serve him. I could wish that everyone's conversion was as simple and as complete as the Apostle Paul. "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest." And then he said, "What wouldst thou have me to do, Lord?" Is your life that simple? Is your heart that pure and truthful and straightforward that you know who Jesus is and you understand that in consequence of who he is, if he is the Son of God, there's nothing else for you to do but follow him for the rest of your life? Now, think of it. Think of what some have said about a day with the Lord. I remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 84. He said, "My heart longeth, yea, fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." And he said, "A day in thy courts, a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. One day in the courts of the Lord, better than a thousand." Now, James and John and Peter and Andrew, because he called the others right after he called the first two, they are convinced also that this one, Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, is worthy to give their life to. Is he worthy to give your life to? Tell me, are you able to say with the Apostle Paul, "For to me to live is Christ"? And you may translate it this way: to me to live, or to me life, is Christ. Is that true of you? Or is life like that first invitation that Christ gave. You're prepared to spend time with the Lord Jesus, perhaps part of one day a week with the Lord Jesus, and then that's the end. But Paul said, to me, life is Christ. And he said, I'm crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, the life, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What Christ is looking for is people who will give their lifetime to the faith. Some are convinced as to who he is, and they say, I will give you a day, but he wants people to give him a lifetime. And that's what that second invitation is for. Now, some are prepared to do it, like Paul, and think now, those who, having examined the claims of God, accepted those claims, and then gave their lives. Moses, how long did he live for God? You say, well, he was 80 years old when he went down, and until he was 120, he lived for God. Yes. And Joshua, he took over where Moses left off, and he lived the rest of his life for God. And in the New Testament concerning David, this is what is so beautiful about him. It said, David served his own generation after the will of God, and when he had served his generation, it said he fell asleep. That is what Christians should dedicate themselves to do, to serve their own generation, but more than that. It says in Psalm 71, there is an old man who is crying unto God to cast him not away in his old age, in his weakness, and in his infirmity. You say, well, anybody would pray that prayer. He said, do not cast me away, O God, until I declare thy name unto this generation, and until I declare thy faithfulness to the next generation. What is your desire to live? If you've lived out your life in your own generation, as David did, and God says, time to sleep, David. Do you want to live as this old man did to tell the next generation? It said, David, after he had served his own generation according to the will of God, fell asleep. I hope that all of us have that testimony concerning us. This is what Paul said. He said the same thing. He said, I fought the good fight. I finished the course. I kept the faith. His whole life long, he had given to the Lord Jesus Christ. So you say, Moses did, and Joshua did, and the Apostle Paul did. And what did the Savior say in John chapter 17? He said, Father, I finished the work that you gave me to do. How long did he spend on it? A lifetime. 30 years in preparation, and then a little over 3 years in propagation. But the Lord Jesus lived out his whole life for his Father. And Moses lived out his life for God. And Joshua lived out his life for God. And Paul lived out his life for God. And you and I live out our lives, well, a day, a part of it. And I'm wondering if we have effectively reached our own generation and have thought about the generation to come. Some did. And Moses could say, I did it. And Joshua could say, I did it. And Paul could say, I did it. And the Lord Jesus could say, I did it. I finished the work that you gave me to do. And that is what is so excellent, if a man can look back over his life and say, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. That is what is so excellent, if a man can do those things. And if so, listen to this. Having said that, Paul says, henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing. That's why I read to you in Revelation chapter 11. There are some, and it says that they are invulnerable it is impossible for them to die until they have finished their course. God says, there are certain individuals to whom you are to witness. But it says that when they finish their work for God, then God said to the beast, they're yours. And immediately he kills them, just as the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said to them, this is your hour and the power of darkness. But when Pilate said, I have power to crucify thee and I have power to release thee, the Lord Jesus said, you would have no power against me at all, except it was given thee from heaven. And so will you remember that? This old man that is afraid in his infirmity, he said, oh God, let me live until I finish the work, and even beyond that. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm going to live that long. He knows that. And others who are convinced that their times are in God's hand know that they're indestructible until that time. And even during the tribulation period, those two witnesses, though the beast would like to destroy them at the very beginning, impossible for him to lay his hand upon them until God takes his hand off. That is an encouragement to us. And the encouragement that is greatest of all is this, that if we spend that day with the Lord Jesus and we say, he is everything that he says he is. Do you remember how the Queen of Sheba came and spoke to Solomon? And she said, I doubted when I came. But now that I've looked at you and I've listened to you, the half has not been told. And so those that have spent that day with him, and then those that have spent a lifetime with him, and as in the case of Moses, 120 years, but he died, and Joshua and David, they all died. Paul, they all died. These two witnesses, they died. But that makes no difference. Paul's the same one who said on earth, come and see where I live, and said to them, come and spend your lifetime with me. You think that the one who has given those two invitations, and they've been faithfully responded to, that after you have spent your lifetime with him, he's going to trot you and let you die? Whenever we die, the Lord Jesus will say from heaven, and I take it to be him, some great voice from heaven. The great voice from heaven says, come up here. And when he says that, then all is well, because you're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus. And that is beautiful. That's what he promises in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In the coming day, he's going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and the living shall be changed. And it says that after that, we'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord. And it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And so at that last invitation from Christ, he said, come, I want you to spend eternity with me. Now some, and I hope it turns out this way, some such as Enoch are walking with God, and God says to Enoch, instead of going home tonight, would you like to come home with me? And Enoch says, yes, Lord. And he says, well, come on up here. Come with me. I wish that would happen to all of us. But I'm not concerned if it does not happen, because these two witnesses who have served their whole lifetime for God, when they die, a voice from heaven says, come up here. And they are taken up to heaven in the cloud. And thus shall they ever be with the Lord, and thus shall you ever be with the Lord. So you listen to the Lord Jesus when he says, spend the day with me. And you listen to the Lord Jesus when he says, spend your lifetime with me. And then, when the Lord Jesus calls the last time, he will spend eternity with you. And it's gone. That is great. Now, Father, we are thankful that you speak an appeal to the sons of men. Our God, to think that you would allow us to come and examine your Son, listen to his words, and then say yes or no to his invitation, to accept or reject the truth of his person. Our God, we're so thankful that many of us here have spent that one day with him and found out who he is. And we're glad that whether in a specialized service or whether simply as living for Christ, doing our daily tasks, we all have given our lives to him. And we're thankful that having done that, that call is going to come, and some of us will be alive, and some of us will be dead, but it makes no difference. There was power in the voice of the Son of God. And when he says, come up here, we shall come up here. We're thankful that we shall not be forgotten. The Lord is not unrighteous to forget the things that you've done for him. And so we're thankful that you look upon us, our God, and that you are the God of the living. You are not the God of the dead. All live unto him. So thank you, Savior, for calling men again and again and again. And let us not be afraid when that final call comes, because it is, come up here with me, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord. Hear us, we pray, in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.